Welcome to a brand new edition of the UIW Athletics Podcast. This is your host, Shane Milling. We have three interviews in store for you today. We will have men's and women's head basketball coaches Ken Burmeister and Kate Henderson on, as well as senior Daniela Nane Bediaco from the track and field team, who have gotten off to a good start to the season. And this week, basketball teams are on the road, traveling to Northwestern State on Thursday night, and then they play at Stephen F. Austin on Saturday night. It'll be the toughest road trip of the season for the men. Northwestern State is the defending conference tournament champions, and Stephen F. Austin is currently undefeated in conference play. UAW junior guard Denzel Livingston last week was named the Southland Conference Player of the Week, as well as the College Sports Madness Mid-Major Player of the Week. So congratulations go to Denzel. This week also, the swimming and diving teams head up to the University of Notre Dame for a meet. Men's tennis is back in action. They take on number 7 Baylor on Thursday, and then men's and women's tennis both host St. Mary's on Saturday. So that is just about all the action that's going on now as we roll the calendar over to February, going into next week. Pretty soon, basketball and softball will be starting up. Still a couple weeks away, though. But for now, let's enjoy these interviews with head coach Ken Burmeister of the men's basketball team, head coach Kate Henderson of the women's basketball team, and then Daniela to close it out. Okay, joining us now is head men's basketball coach Ken Burmeister. Coach, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having us. We enjoy the exposure and the branding of UIW.
Team is playing very well. Picked up a couple nice wins this past week at home. You guys played Sam Houston State, who came in 5-1 in conference play and got a big win in front of a nice home crowd. And then on Saturday, Lamar, they were coming off a win at Abilene Christian. You guys were able to take them down as well. Running your record 16-3 now, 4-2 in conference play, but you have a tough week coming up.
Well, the Sam Houston State team was probably the best team to ever play a regular season game in the Convo. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a combination of our players and the fans. And the fans really gave us a lift. We really appreciated it. And Saturday against Lamar, a team, when you talk about college basketball in Texas, you think Texas A&M. And then Lamar is in the talks. It was just a couple years ago where they went to the NCAA tournament. So to get back-to-back conference wins is always gratifying.
How exciting for the players was it on Thursday night to play Sam Houston cable Comcast out of Houston TV? Could you tell a little bit more excitement from the guys?
No question. I think it's always interesting to watch the students. The students go crazy. You know, the days of students like to go to the games. They like to dress up, one in a suit, one in a clown outfit, and one in something, and then put it on Facebook. It's no longer, just to go to a game and enjoy the game. Students go there to have fun and have an atmosphere, and anytime you put the bright lights on, that's what happens. I don't want to say they get stupid, but they get crazy, that's for sure.
Talk a little about that game. You know, what were you guys able to do against the Bearcats that enabled you to come away with a nice 11-point victory?
Well, I think two things were good. One is Denzel is playing MVP of the Southland, and he'll be MVP if he can cut his turnovers down. But in this game particularly, we just spread it out and let Mitch take it and make the proper decisions. I think he only had one bad turnover, but he played an outstanding game. And I think, you know, our two guards, Sam and Kyle, didn't particularly shoot the ball well, but Anthony Horton picked it up, so that was good.
How nice has it been to see, you know, early on in the season, you know, Sam and Kyle were the guys, they were scoring quite a bit, and Anthony really wasn't scoring a whole lot. But since conference play has come, you can tell teams are focusing on
on Kyle and Sam, making it difficult on them. But Anthony's really stepped up his game. He's shooting at, I think he's shooting 67% in conference play for you, and has made a number of big buckets for you, especially since conference play has started.
Well, I think the conference in general has athletic foremen, power type guys, and he's able to play well against those guys with his skills session. And to believe me, with Sam and Kyle, those big guys and the other guys don't realize how much easier it is for them to get shots, because their whole goal is, talking to other coaches, to stop Sam, because he's a freshman. They feel like if they stop him, that stops a double-digit score. Mm-hmm. And then they're playing Kyle close, and he's been able to start taking it to the basket pretty well. So as the season goes on, there's a lot of scouting. Service Synergy, they can do everything to show individuals from the first game to the last game. They can put your offense, your defense together. So there are no secrets, and people will take you out of your strengths.
Now, you mentioned Denzel Livingston had a great week, averaged 23.5 points per game and 5.5 steals per game on the week. He was named the Southland Conference Player of the Week, and then College Sports Madness named him their mid-major player of the week. What's he been able to do? He's just been, I think over the last 10 games, he's had 17 points at least in each of the last 10 games. And it seems like he can score when he needs to. A lot of times you'll see him kind of go for a little while. You're like, oh, he's not scoring. And then, boom, he'll put 10 points on the board very quickly.
Well, he's an explosive scorer who can take it to the basket and make jump shots, and most of the time he makes his free throws, and he has the ability to disrupt things on defense, so he can get it done in a number of ways. Probably the best thing when he gets a rebound and takes it on his own and then makes something happen. Once he gets a left hand and once he stops his turnovers, he'll be difficult for anybody to beat.
You guys have done – that's one thing I've noticed, seeing a number of games this year, is you guys get out and transition – so quickly off of made baskets and missed baskets that you guys get a lot of easy layups throughout the game just because you're beating the other team down the court. Is that just...
That's by design.
Yeah.
When you recruit everyone fast breaks, coaches tell kids they fast break. That's in the living room. Once they get back to campus, they take the ball and they go side to side to side to side. Most coaches, if they could score 2 points and stall the rest of the game, that's how they'd play. Thank goodness for the clock. Our clock was out in one game, I told the refs, don't worry about it, because we're pushing the ball and we're going to get ball movement and make the extra pass and score. That's what makes it fun. But most coaches don't have confidence in that style of play. We certainly do. Believe in guys with, as long as they make unselfish plays and make good plays, that's the way basketball is meant to be played.
Seems like, you know, you guys are in great shape. You get up and down the court real quick, and it seems like you wear the other team down, and then you mentioned that you have a lot of guys who they're willing to make that extra pass. You'll see Denzel, Mitch, Kyle, all those guys on the break. If they see someone else with a better look, they're willing to give it up, and I think that it just leads to great teamwork.
Well, that's by design. If they don't, they'll sit the bench. But I think it also helps that you have a 7-footer. Mm-hmm. Ian kind of wears people down. I know he gets a little tired, but he's making great strides with his condition to where he was.
Right.
And now we're getting good play out of CJ, an extra big man in there who can clog up the middle and make shots difficult for the other team. So I think that's a combination of our guards are pushing it hard, and when people push it back at us, you know, they're going to go into Ian or CJ, and that's tough when you're going in there. They're not shot blockers per se, but they have good bodies where they make it difficult for somebody to score.
CJ Bear, I thought the game against Sam Houston State was his best game of the year. He came in and gave you guys some really important minutes. I think he had 6 or 8 points. It was a needed spark, it seemed like.
Well, no question. With CJ, you never know what he's going to do. I call him a popcorn player. He goes up and you don't know what's going to happen. And now he's making positive results, so we hope that continues. He's worked pretty hard in practice, and usually when you work hard in practice, sooner or later good things will happen in the game, as long as you don't sulk and moan and all those kind of things. Today's entitled basketball players, they want to play without putting in the time.
All right, let's look ahead this week. Maybe your toughest week of the season. You head to Northwestern State, last year's conference champion, and then Stephen F. Austin, who undefeated in conference play this year. Two tough games. You know, how do you prepare the team for this week?
Well, they're two different styles. Northwest State, they went to the tournament last year. It wasn't too long ago. They were winning games in the mm-hmm. tournament, beating Iowa. It was a big game on national mm-hmm. TV a few years back. But they always have 10 athletic guys, and they run press. Corpus, who doesn't usually score, scored 100 points on them. So
yeah.
That was interesting to see. But they're going to come at us with 10 players. They got good players, really good players in their style. They recruit for that style. And then Stephen F. Austin, really in the times before, they've had good teams, but they've never gotten to the tournament for whatever reason. I think they've only gone once in 13 years. And these guys at Stephen F. Austin, they're really excited with the new coaching staff. Brad is doing an outstanding job. They're playing hard. I mean, to go to the drum at Texas, only lose by 10, and really had them to the last few yeah. minutes, that shows the quality. Their players are really overachieving. So it's Robert. Interesting to see, you know, a program like Stephen F., who has all the money, they're on top. It's like every conference. You know, Duke, North Carolina, they're on top. Wichita State, Missouri Valley, they're on top. Well, Stephen F. Austin has all the resources, facilities, so on and so forth, and they're on top.
Do you see them as being the toughest defensive team we played this year?
Yeah, because they're winning 15-0 in the conference. So we're going to have to score and execute, and, you know, they run good sets. And playing there, and you know, when any time you go on the road and you're on the bus, you know, that's a 5-point swing for the other team, and it's a second game, makes it tougher for a team. The good thing when teams go on the road, they can bond together. We can have more study halls, but it's tough. You don't eat the same. You don't
sleep
in the same bed, etc. But you can control it. I've always thought sometimes it's easier to win on the road than at home. But I think now, if we can keep the students coming and the home court advantage, we'll be difficult to beat at UIW.
Does it help that you guys have already made one road trip within the Southland Conference, so you kind of know what it's like already?
Yeah, I think the Southeast Louisiana game really taught us. One thing, Division I is an entirely different game than Division II. Division II, NAI, you can run up and down, miss shots, miss free throws, make fouls, and you can still win the game. In Division I, possessions and execution and coming away with something and making stops. And at Southeast Louisiana, we missed, I think, 6 layups in the first half. Second half, we missed some free throws. And then all of a sudden, for a 3-minute stretch, they had it, and we lose by 4. And then that hurt us. And then at home, Oral Roberts jumped up and hit a shot by 1. So we're really 5 points away from being undefeated. And if you really want to analyze the whole season, we're 5 points in the first half. We played terrible at North Texas. Second half, we beat them. So we're 5 points and 1 half away from being undefeated. That's how close we are.
Well, Coach, we wish you the best of luck this week. And we know it's going to be tough, but hopefully you guys can get a couple wins.
Thanks for having us. Bye.
Okay, now joining us on the show is head women's basketball coach, Kate Henderson. Kate, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I know you wish you had won these last two games and we'd be talking about great wins, but it didn't quite happen that way. You guys, however, have put yourself in position to win each of the last two games against Sam Houston and Lamar, leading at halftime. You know, what were some of the things you guys did well this last week, and then we can talk about maybe some of the things that didn't go as well.
I think we've gotten better in some areas. For sure, we've improved in rebounding. You know, our last opponent in Lamar, we actually out-rebounded mm-hmm. 12. So I feel like we're improving in that area. We aren't necessarily finishing the play on offensive rebounds, so that hurts us a little bit. But feel like that our kids are still really improving, and game to game we're getting better, and so that's kind of all you can ask for in this transition.
I'm trying to make sure I don't blend the two games together. But against Lamar, I thought you guys did a great job on their star player, and I'm drawing a blank on her name right now. you held her scoreless, I think, for the first 30 minutes of the game, and then
second half,
the last 10 minutes, she got rolling, and she kind of took over the game, and I thought that was kind of the difference. What were you guys able to do so well those first 30 minutes to just keep her? She seemed frustrated. She wasn't rebounding very much. What were you able to do? And what is her name? You can't remember either. Coach, come on.
I can't think of it. I can think of the point guard. I can't think of her name right now.
I could picture.
Her number's 25.
Yeah. Number 25 from Lamar. Had a great last 10 minutes.
I feel like we just, our defensive game plan was really good in the first half. We were able just to limit her touches and just did a good job of kind of matching up with her. And then the second half, again, you know, not making excuses, but we're only playing about 7 kids. And so when the opponent's able to kind of put fresh people in and take them out and, you know, have conversations with their players and put them back in the game and help making adjustments as the game's going on, sometimes it makes it difficult. And I thought she was able to get some rest there, you know, even in the first half, and then really come out the second half and really take it at us offensively.
They seem to hit – they hit a number of three-pointers throughout the game, some of them tough shots, and there's not really anything you can do about that. So what do you tell your team when something like that happens where you've played good defense and someone just hits a really tough shot?
I mean, you have to just, you know, of course at that time you're frustrated with the situation, but you kind of have to go and attack on the other end. You know, you can't, you know, worry about the play that just happened. You kind of have to turn back around and then try and execute an offense. And at times, you know, the last few games we've kind of gone on some scoring droughts, but going into the Lamar game in the first half, 19 of our first field goal attempts, we connect on 12. Mm-hmm. So we're making improvements. We're just not able to finish games, and a lot of it has to do with just decision making and shot selection late in the game that we're trying to continue to improve and practice this week.
You know, on Saturday you didn't start Rose Whitehead. She struggled on Thursday, didn't start her, and then you got a great performance from her. She came off, I think you put her in about 7 or 8 minutes into the game, and she had 14 points in the first half and 6 rebounds, and really I thought provided a spark for the team. And you guys took a lead into halftime. They just couldn't stop her.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Rose struggled a little bit versus Sam. And, you know, it had something to do with going against another big player like her.
She's bigger.
Right. And so she hasn't necessarily, you know, gone against that before. So I think it kind of rattled her a little bit, got her a little bit frustrated. But she knew that, you know, she needed to step up in this in the next game and really trying to help us do what Rose does. And she's... You know, there's a reason why she has high field goal percentage, and we give her an opportunity to score down there because she's got really good touch, and she's really increased her rebounding, you know, in the last several games as well, which has kind of been a goal of hers as well. So, you know, I think she was able to bounce back, and that's one thing I can say about this group is, you know, we've had some adversity, and we've kind of had some bumps and bruises. We've had some injuries. We've had this and that. But we somehow managed to try and improve every game, and that's kind of all you can ask for right now in this transition and with only really 7 healthy bodies.
Yeah, I mean, heading into the season, you know it's going to be tougher going from Division II to Division I. And, you know, I think you guys, you would like to have a few more wins, but honestly, you've played these games where you put yourself in position to win, and sometimes it's just a team figuring out how to win at the end. And it doesn't always happen when you think it's going to happen. But just being in position shows just the strides the team has made, I think, making that move up to Division I. One thing I wanted to talk about Rose, too, was it seemed like on Thursday she wasn't getting the shots where she needed to be. And then on Saturday you could tell she made the effort to get herself in position to have an easier shot rather than a fadeaway or trying to shoot it right in someone's face, which is hard to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that had a lot to do with going against a bigger player in Beadle, and she's one of our best post players in our league, I think. And I think when you don't continue to kind of own in on the fundamentals of really trying to get a good seal in the paint, then you let a bigger player kind of nudge you out. You put yourself in a position to take a hard shot instead of an easy shot. And so our focus was really trying to get her, you know, closer touches to the basket rather than, you know, being off the lane and having to dribble and do those things that we don't really want her to do.
This week you guys head out to Northwestern State on Thursday and then Stephen F. Austin on Saturday. You know, what's kind of the scouting report on those two teams?
I mean, just like every Safflin game, whether it's home or road, I just think that the league is so competitive from top to bottom. Every night, you know, you're going to have to be ready and prepared, and that's why your scouting reports and your preparation have to be so good going into it. But, you know, Northwestern, from what I've seen and the film that I've watched and whatnot, is not necessarily as up-tempo as the last couple of teams that we've played. And so I feel like, you know, that may help us a little bit as far as, you know, just being able to settle down a little bit and not have to be so rattled when you're only playing like seven kids. But I think, you know, again, with the improvements that we're making, you know, if we continue to out-rebound our opponent, if we can continue to try and just get better offensively at execution and take better shots, our shot selection has got to be better on the road. I think we have a great opportunity to get, you know, a win or two on the road.
What's SFA like?
They're a very, very good basketball team as well, but their point guard went down, I believe, with an ACL. I don't know if I'm correct on that or not, and they've lost the last three. And I think, you know, again, kind of like us early on, you know, we win our first five or something, then we have two starters go out. You know, you kind of have some adversity, and so you have to adjust. Not saying that they're a great basketball team, because they are a very good basketball team, but they've struggled a little bit not having her, you know, leadership and whatnot at the point position.
You guys are just about a month left in the season. How's it feel, your first year as the head coach?
I mean, it's great. It's a process, I'll tell you that. I mean, there's definitely some ups and downs in it, but I think you have to, you know, take everything with kind of a grain of salt and see the little successes that you're having in order to continue to improve on a you know, daily basis. And it's easy to, you know, get frustrated and things like that, but when your teams continue to improve and you're trying to continue to make those adjustments on little mistakes and trying to get three freshmen and six seniors to kind of see eye to eye in this process, it's a little bit more difficult than
you
think.
It's an interesting group because you don't have the middle classes that
right.
usually you do.
Right. And so, you know, I think they're continuing to stay positive and we're continuing to work hard. And I think, you know, we've proven that we can compete with people. It's just now a matter of finishing games and we'll continue our staff and me included, you know, continue to prepare these kids to the best that we possibly can so that we can start getting some victories.
What's the one thing that you've discovered as a head coach that maybe you didn't realize when you were an assistant coach? Anything? Or is
that's a good question. there's a lot of different things that you know, kind of have to think about. I don't know if there's one in particular right now that I can think about, but...
Or if you could tell yourself something that you know now that you could have told yourself, you know, back in September, that would have helped. That would have helped you out.
I don't know. I don't even know if I can say this or not. But I know having worked for Angela in the last several years, you know, some of the different moods that she would have and go through during the season, and how much exercise she would try and get in.
Now I realize
that I need to get that exercise in and kind of take my mind away from basketball a little bit and learn to be a little bit more balanced. I'll say, you know, as a young head coach, you want to do everything right and you really want to put your stamp on the culture of your program. And, you know, sometimes you just need to have a little time for yourself and you need to go work out and do those kind of things. So probably that's one thing that I can think of right now. But, you know, it's exciting. It's a good level of stress for me. I'm challenged every day, and so I think it's only going to make me better.
I'll say the same. It's not just specific to being a head coach. I think in sports information, I found if I don't exercise, it gets a lot harder for some reason. You just have to set that time aside.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you don't realize that, I think, at the time, but, you know, when your brain is constantly on your job and you don't kind of have that time away, I think it's real important to kind of step away and have that time to, you know, get your mind refocused on other things. So,
all right, well, Coach, thanks for joining us, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Okay, joining us now on the UIW Athletics Podcast is senior track athlete Daniela Anane Bedioka. Bediako. I got close. Why don't you say it for everybody?
It's Daniela Anane Bediako.
Okay. I'll just say Daniela from now on. But welcome to the show. And you've been doing pretty well so far. Two meets in. You set the school record in the 60 meters. And at both meets, you've run very good times. And then it looks like you've improved your 200 time from last year.
Uh-huh.
Talk a little about just the first two meets. I know the Oklahoma meet was a little smaller meet.
Yeah.
And then New Mexico was a very big meet.
Uh-huh. So, well, for the Oklahoma meet, I think we were more expecting what we had. Like, we didn't have as much competition, but we knew that we still had to make finals in order to drop our time. So going in, I was prepared because I've ran at Oklahoma before. So I was like, okay, well, this is my shot at dropping my time and starting off with a good season. And that's exactly what happened. I broke my own record and then definitely dropped my 200-meter time. So that's pretty good.
What was it like competing at the New Mexico meet where a number of the top teams in the country were? It looked like there was, I don't know how many athletes were at the meet, but it had to be quite a few.
Yeah, there was like 50 athletes for just the 60 or like over 100 athletes for just the 200. Mm-hmm. So going in, it was a little nerve-wracking, but I like that track because back at home I train on a bank track. But getting out was a little shaky, but I did pretty well for it being one of the first competitions at such a big meet.
How hard is it running the 60 when really so much is dependent on how you start because there's not much time to make up ground?
Yeah, for me, I'm better at the 200 than I am the 60 because I'm so tall, but I just try to focus on getting out and not making too many mistakes because, as you said, there's not much time to try to make up for lost ground.
Can you do you really even have time to even kind of think like, okay, I'm falling behind, or is it just like you're looking at the wall straight ahead and you don't really know what else is going on?
No, I don't feel like I think everything is just like get to the line first. There's not much time to think at all. Cause it's just 7 seconds to get from the start to the finish.
I've never been a sprinter, so I don't really know that feeling. Now, you're from Canada,
mm-hmm.
So I guess, and I know you went to Texas State for a couple of years, and now you've been here, it's your second year here. I guess tell us, you know, what's it like being in Canada and then coming down to Texas?
Definitely a huge weather change. Like,
yeah.
I came here in sweats and a hoodie, and the minute I was at the airport, I'd take everything off because I was just so hot. But aside from that, the hospitality here in Texas is much different than it is in Canada. Like, everyone's more sweeter and welcoming. Like, in Canada, everything's just, like, fast-paced. Like, everyone wants to get to where they want to be right then and there. Like, here people stop say, like, good morning, good afternoon, hold doors for you. So, for sure, that was, like, a difference between Canada and Texas.
What's the difference in terms of track? Is the indoor season... is that more of an important season than here, where I think we kind of focus more on the outdoor season because we have good weather most of the spring?
For the most part, yes, because we have to be training indoor from, like, late September all the way up until March, April-ish. And then high school, we don't start outdoor season until, like, it's actually bearable for us to be outside because it gets so cold. So definitely the indoor season is pretty important.
I know I'm from up north, and the indoor season, it seems like every school up north has an indoor track, whereas down here in Texas, I think there's only three schools that have indoor tracks. What do you, as a senior on the team, how do you, I guess, try to lead some of the youngsters on the squad? We have a number of new sprinters, you know, up through the 400 meters that are on this team.
Uh-huh.
What have you been able to do to try to help them, I guess, adjust to being a collegiate track athlete?
I guess just telling them that, like, although you have to be able to balance your academics with your athletics, don't forget that you are a student. You are a student first before you're an athlete. So I try to emphasize the fact that, yeah, you're going to be here for 4 years running track, but remember that you're still working towards a degree and something to do once you've graduated from UIW.
So what are your goals for this season?
I really want to medal again indoor for hopefully for the 60 and for the 2. I do want to continue to break my own records, set new records outdoor, because I haven't been able to set any outdoor just yet. So those are my goals.
Looks like we could have a pretty good 4x100 meter relay
team. For sure, for sure.
And we've had some good teams in the past. You know, what does it take to have a good relay team?
Dedication, chemistry, having fun with your teammates.
Do you find that it's that people tend to run faster when they're on the relay because you know you have teammates relying on you?
Yeah, for sure, because you're trying to not only get to the baton to your teammate as fast as you can, but you also want to be able to, like, stay on the team. Like, you don't want someone to replace you, so you definitely have to give it your all when you're competing on the relays.
Now, last year you had some injuries later. You had a good start to the season, then had some injuries. How difficult was that for you to deal with that and not be able to probably perform where you wanted to perform, especially in the outdoor season?
It was very difficult because I'd never been injured to the point where, like, I couldn't compete to the best of my abilities or compete at all for some time. Outdoor season, I didn't even go to track meets, and it was just so hard because that's what I wanted to do most. I came here to set the bar high, URW track, and I just wasn't able to do it. So this year I've definitely taken more care of my body in terms of my health and eating well and winter trainers to prevent that from happening again.
And then since you've run at the Division I level before, has there been anything you've been able to tell the other people who this is their first year at the Division I level, like what it will be like at the, say, like the Southland Conference meet?
Mm-hmm, because I was in Southland for the first 2 years, mm-hmm. So I just tell them the competition is definitely harder. You have to be ranking in the top in order to go into the conference with, like, a chance to score for the school. So definitely just putting yourself out there in terms of running as fast as you can.
Then what are your plans following graduation? What are you majoring in? What's kind of the what do you want to do after track?
Well, I'm majoring in biology because I want to be a medical examiner. So I've applied to a few graduate schools to get my master's in forensic science. And then once I've decided on whether I want to get my medicinal degree or not, then I would apply to medical school.
So you still have a lot of school left.
Yes, I do. A whole bunch.
Well, Daniela, thanks for joining us, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you.